Hello and welcome to another episode of the Bros 3 Podcast for May 13th, 2023. And how are you doing, fam? I say, how are you doing? Are you out there living your best life? Well, I hope that you are. And if you're not, today will be the perfect day to start. Can I just say, last Friday, I got the most pleasantly unexpected call. I guess I could have just said pleasant and unexpected. But, so, my phone rings. You know how phones do. And as soon as I pick up, someone says, my intro to my podcast. Like, hey, what's up? Whatever I just said, I literally just said it. Hey, what's up? This is Tony. Welcome to the Bros 3 Podcast. And the person said the date. And he said, I hope you're living your best life. And if you're not, today would be the perfect day to start. And then the voice said, go. And I couldn't do nothing but laugh. Basically, they was letting me know that they hadn't heard a new podcast in a while. And they was missing it. I thought it was dope. And from there, we commenced to talk for about 2.5 hours. And I gave them a personalized podcast, you know. I thought that was really dope. And I was thinking, well, if that person was missing the podcast, maybe there are others out there that's missing the podcast. So here we are. To be fair, it's not like I just said forget it. Nothing like that. I just been moving and grooving. And not just that, you know, sometimes we get stuck in the planning phase of things. You know, the idea, you want it perfect before you present it. And then you get so wrapped up in the thinking about how it's going to be after you present it that you don't do the legwork to get to the end product. Like, some people can get so, they can feel accomplishment before they even start it because they just think how good it's going to feel. Once they get done, they never take the steps. You dig what I'm saying? So, it's me taking that step. Like, if you sit on an idea for too long, it just becomes stale or it grows out of control. All right. Perfect example, right? About 3 weeks ago, I was trying to decide, just out the blue, what would be the worst time to get an Amber Alert? You know, Amber Alert, when your phone go off and let you know, hey, there's somebody in your vicinity that's missing. Well, they don't necessarily say they're like, yo, this car and maybe this kid or whatever, you know, again, blue Honda, get your license plate, you know. I was like, what would be the worst time to get that Amber Alert? And see, my phone, I don't know what it is. Like, if an Amber Alert come through, it's normally like a loud screech. You know, then everybody look at their phone because they think they're important. Somebody text them, but your phone ain't never made that sound, right? Everybody look at their phone. My alert come in like maybe 30, 45 seconds later. I don't know why, right? So it will be a bad time to get that alert. And I was like, well, it's got to be on the toilet, right? Like, because realistically, you can't help at all. You on the toilet. You preoccupied. And the alarm is like a call to action. You know what I'm saying? You expect people to drop what they're doing, get a posse together, and go find the missing child or whatever the situation is. And see, I like to be helpful. Like, if it goes off, I'm on the toilet, you know, beep, beep, Amber Alert. I'll be on the lookout for a 1972 Cutlass, you know, license plate, get money, you know. Even if I'm on the toilet, I hate to say it, but my first instinct is to look around the bathroom because I feel like I've done my part. Like, that's part of the social contract. Hey, everybody listen up, a kid's going missing. Somebody look around for it. So I was thinking that was a bad time to get it, but I was like, no, it's got to be a better time to get an Amber Alert. So I'm like, okay, so start asking my friends, like, yo, when in the middle of a conversation, by the way, just how is your day going? Hey, real quick, what would be the worst time to get an Amber Alert? One of my friends said, hiding in the closet and the girl's boyfriend is coming in. I'm like, yeah, that, I guess that would be a bad one. That's like some R. Kelly trapped in the closet type stuff, you know? Like you hear the woman arguing with the guy, who is he? And the woman like, ain't nobody here but me. And then the guy's like, no, because I see there's a Cutlass outside, 1979's blue, and the license plate say get money. And you're like, oh Lord, that's me, right? And then she like, boy, you crazy. Like she trying to convince the man. She doing some Jedi mind trick to believe her instead of his feelings. And he like, I can smell it in the air. It's raw in here. You know, she opened up a window, right? And you know, you just looking through the door, the closet door. You hoping that don't nobody, you know. And all of a sudden, beep, beep. And both of them go check their phone. You're like, oh, thank God. Like, the tension has been broken. But 45 seconds later, your phone will go beep, beep. And both eyes go to the closet, right? The only thing you can do is come out the closet, literally, like you was part of the search party. That's the only way it's going to work. Like, you know, dude, because he already upset. He angry, right? So you just got to come out like you organizing the search party. You just go like, okay, well, the kid's not in the closet. I'm going to check down the hallway. And then from there, if you do it fast enough with enough authority, you can, you know, make it out the door, you know. I thought that was a good one, but I thought we could do better, you know. So I asked one of my more devious friends. I said, okay, what would be the worst time to get the Amber Alert? And without hesitation, my friend said, a furry orgy. And I was like, I think we got a winner. Like, okay, so furries are people who dress up as, you know, animals, right? And, you know, they do stuff to each other. So, yeah, I figure, okay, yeah, that's got to be the worst time to get an Amber Alert, right? Because, okay, think about this, right? All right, so everybody's at the agreed upon place. I don't know how you organize an orgy, but, you know, everyone's there on time. You got somebody dressed up like Sonic the Hedgehog, somebody dressed up like Pikachu, you know. People in the corner, you know, they not just mascots there, it's animals there too, you know. But some people who, you know, they want a little peanut butter with their jelly, you know. Somebody might want to snuggle up to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, you know. Instead of nunchucks, he's got, you know, you know, something else for weapons. I don't know, right? So everybody start kind of moving and grooving, you know, like James Brown said, like a sex machine, you know, party writhing and stuff. You got music playing. I don't know why I just assume it's 70s music playing, right? You gotta have that bow in there. That's how you know you sinning, man. God turned his eyes like, don't look at that. These boys going straight to hell, right? And you know, everybody put their phones and stuff away. And then, you know, the phones start going. Everybody's phone goes off. Beep, beep, right? So everybody grabbing the phone. And, you know, the M&M's people dressed up like M&M's, mascots, whatever. Like they stop, they come out the back room. Everybody looking at their phone. And see, that's when reality hit, right? Because, yeah, you might be dressed up as a sexy Tickle Me Elmo, you know, but real talk. You are probably a middle-aged, probably bald in person, you know? And you gotta look at yourself at that point. Like, what am I doing? You know, I came up in here ready to sin. And there's a real world out there, man. Like, somebody called off early from work to come to this orgy, you know? And then that start making you think about your kids if you got them. You know, you be like, what am I doing? I'm sitting here sweating, dressed up like Alf. You know Alf. But the thing is, a whole bunch of young people there. Don't nobody know who you supposed to be. and you make inappropriate jokes because you dress like Alf, and Alf used to eat cats, and you make the logical leap with a little, you know, verbal gymnastics, you know, I like to eat cats, you know, whatever, keeping it PG because we have older listeners, right? And you realize you, what are you doing, right? And then 45 seconds later, somebody else's phone goes off, and he was just putting his outfit on, you know, he was just getting dressed up. He like, are we doing this or what? And you come out like, Johnny, like, you should be ashamed of yourself. There's children missing in the world. You're like, yeah, I know. I mean, why am I the bad guy all of a sudden? And you gotta, I was imagining if you was at this furry orgy party, you'd probably like, you know what, y'all, let's just do something good for the community. Let's put back on our uniforms, wipe off the crusties, and go out there and find this little person, this little child. Now imagine this, right? Imagine you a child, you was lost, you was at the park and you walked away or whatever, right? You lost, you scared, lonely, you know, cold, sun going down, and you look over your shoulder and you see like a parade of just all the cartoon characters looking for you. You know, you see Pikachu, and you know, you gotta say Pika Pika, you know what I'm saying? He was saying Pika Pika at the orgy, but he's saying, come Pika Pika, look at this, you know, take a look at this Pika Pika, right? And all the little, you know, all the horny mascots come, and you a 5-year-old, they put you on their shoulders and they walk you up and they bounce you. It'll be the best day of your life. The best day of your life, right? Amber alerts. And then, right, I heard that apparently, speaking of missing children, apparently a lot of parents, when they abandon their kids, they take them to Disney World. I guess the thought is they take them to the happiest place on earth, and because the parent is leaving them, it makes it easier for the child. I guess it kind of like squelches the guilt of the parent, you know. So sitting there thinking like, okay, you're a parent, you're a dad or whatever, and you take your kid to the Magic Kingdom, right? And the kid's excited, but you got some stuff on your heart, on your brain. You about to do the most painfulest thing in the world. Like, your greatest day was becoming a parent. So your worst day gotta be giving the kid up. Like, you gotta come to a realization. I can't afford the kid. I'm not emotionally stable. Maybe it'd be a better place. You know, so before I depart out this kid's life, we're gonna go to Disney World. Right? And the kid's excited. What we gonna ride first, Dad? What we gonna ride first? You don't know. You just like, where would you like to go? And they say, I wanna go on the It's the Small World ride. Right? And then they give Goofy a hug, you know, the line is really just a sweaty dude dressed up as Goofy. He probably came from the orgy party, whatever, you know. Did it on his lunch break. What he does on his time is his time, right? Give you a hug, whatever. So your kid's in line. It's a 2-hour line. It's 2-hour wait, baby. Right? And you sitting there, your heart's breaking, your eyes is welling up. You can't even see the parade going by because you just know what you're about to do, right? So the kid's waiting, and he's like, who you think we're going to see on the ride? And all the other type stuff. You say, okay, Johnny, you just wait right here. I'm going to go get us some Cheerios. You like Cheerios, don't you? And then the kid's like, this is the best day ever, man. I'm about to ride the ride and get a Cheero, right? So you excuse yourself out of line, your heart breaking the whole time. And then from there, you just make your way out the park, right? And then, you know, the kid waiting in line or whatever, it's his turn. He gets up to the ride. Does he ride the ride? He's waiting on his parent. He don't know, right? Well, 3 hours go by, right? And the person is riding the ride, who running the ride, he's like, where's your parent, Johnny? He's like, oh, he went to go get a Cheero, but that must be a great Cheero because that was like 5 hours ago. He's like, oh, no, right? And then you got to hit the button. I'm assuming there's a button, right? Intercom, you're like, we got a code magenta. You know, magenta is the game. No, amber, skip it. Amber's a color. You got an amber code. So now, all the mascots, not only are they They trying to do their little thing, their little pantomime, like they the characters, but they also looking for, you know, the parent, right? But they can't speak when they dressed up or whatever, right? So anyway, after so long, like, you got to come by. You about to get the worst news of your life if you was Johnny. You a 9-year-old. You've just been abandoned. But, you know, you got to wait to find the information. Now, everybody else slowly comes to that realization. The person dressed up like Beauty, she kind of know, oh, no, not again. This keeps happening every Thursday, right? The guy dressed up like the Beast, he like, oh, God, the paperwork. This is going to kill this little kid. The person dressed up as Pinocchio comes and tell you. First, he hands you a churro. You know, that's going to soften the blow. And the kid eating the churro, Johnny ain't the smartest. That's probably why his parent is leaving him, right? And Pinocchio bends down like, well, I've got some bad news to tell you, right? And the kid was like, just a second, this churro is delicious. It just came out the grease, and it's still delicious. So let me just, I'm gonna eat this. I'm gonna listen, though. And then Pinocchio's like, well, son, some people have bad karma, and you know, they don't have a little Jiminy Cricket on their shoulder to guide them. You get it? He was like, yeah, I get it. But like, he ain't trying to hear that. Don't nobody remember Pinocchio, right? So he like, we can't find your parents, but I'm sure they're close. And as soon as Pinocchio lie, his nose starts growing. Boop. And he's, you know, the guy sees it. He's like, oh no, this is the good costume where the nose work. And he was like, yeah, but I'm sure they loved you very much. And the nose grow a little bit. Boop. Right? And he was like, well, we'll have you home to your parents shortly. And poked a little Johnny in the eye. Now he's a one-out orphan. All right, that was immature, but you know, it's a bad thing to lose. I'm not gonna say that. Maybe you're not a good parent, you know. Not you who's listening, but in that scenario, Johnny's okay. Okay, I made Johnny up, but just, he went to his auntie's house, okay, before I start getting emails and stuff. And then, okay, I was driving, which I've been known to do, and I was close to a school. I was driving by a school. It wasn't like I was hanging out at the school. I just happened to be in the car, and the car was by a school, right? And as I was driving by the school, like two blocks away from the school, I saw a white van, which I thought was kind of peculiar. I mean, how often do you see a white van? A nondescript white van. Just there, right? But it was on the side of the road with the flashers going. Okay, cool. So I'm driving by, and as I'm passing the van, I see a little kid dressed as, you know, as kids do, from school uniform, you know, white t-shirt, blue pants. He was a child. He had a book bag on. I'm gonna say maybe 12 or so. And as he was walking away from the van, he looked disappointed. Like, he's walking back toward the school. And I was like, what? I drove away and I kept thinking about it. Like, and the only thing I could think of was, It's probably an abduction going wrong, right? Probably lied to the little kid, told him, you know. I guess apparently when they kidnap kids, if your kid's not very smart, you know, there'd be a white van there. And then, you know, the guy, you know, he said, hey, you know, I lost my box of puppies. And then the kid, like, oh no, I love puppies. And like, well, I figured you did. But I guess you wouldn't want to help me find them, would you? Kid be like, I don't know, you're a stranger. And he be like, oh, well, my name is Chet, never touch a kid. And the kid was like, oh, that's odd last name, but my name is Johnny. And then Chet was like, well, see, now we're not strangers. You mind jumping in the back and let's find my puppies? And he was like, okay, let's go. And then, like, you know, they drive two blocks away, and then his van breaks down. And so now Chet's got to kick the kid out. But the kid don't want to go, right? He don't realize he's in mortal danger. you know, Chad was like, oh no, not now, not voice changing everything, not now, oh God, like not now, you know. And the kids in the back like, is everything okay, Chad? Like, yeah, just shut up, let me think, because now, you know, you're stuck with a kid, you know, and you're two blocks away. There's no reason that kid should be in your vehicle, much less your presence, right? So now you're like, kid, Johnny needs you to go back to school for a little bit. But you know, that kid, let's call him Billy, like, no, Chet, I gave him a name earlier and I can't remember. No, Chet, we've got to find that box of puppies. And then Chet like, look, forget about the puppies right now. Chet, what's wrong with your voice? Shut up, kid. Just let me think. I'm in a lot of trouble. I really ain't supposed to be here. Chet, you think you should be with the puppies? Shut up about the puppies. Look, just do old Chet a favor. Would you just go back to school? Like, no, sir. I'm staying here until that box of puppies has been retrieved. Kid, think about it. If there was a box of puppies, don't you think the puppies would get out the box? Gosh, you're so cute and stupid. I got a soft spot for the stupid ones, right? And then, you know, at some point Chet's gotta yell at him like, go, you get out of here, Billy, and don't look back. And then the kid's walking back all disappointed, don't realize he just missed out by danger by that much, you know, thinking about them puppies. Amber alerts, everybody. I think about them. I most people ignore them. I just think that's a bad thing. You know, speaking of those vans, right, those white vans, my daughter used to be terrified of white vans. I mean, I guess because of, you know, what the possibility, you know, of what might happen. But my daughter's 18 now. Still hates white vans, like with no windows. And I'm not saying that she shouldn't. I'm just saying it's a weird phobia to have, you know, as an adult. It's like one of the things you see and you're like, huh, white van, better watch my back. But like, she takes that serious. And I don't know, like I know that there are three Taken movies, the movies with Liam Neeson, and the first one was kind of what they were traveling across seas or something, and his daughter got taken, and he went and he had a very specific set of skills and went out there and got his daughter back, right? And then somehow it happened again, right? That was Taken too, right? And he even killed even more people, like, you better not touch my daughter, like went ham, right? And then they had the nerve to make a Taken 3. And I think the premise was the same. Like, they kidnapped his daughter again. And I love my daughter. I would do anything for her. But after the third time, I would think that the kidnappers probably loved her a little bit more than me. I mean, that's like, they called me, you know, okay. Like, after three kidnappings, you might as well save the number, right? You put it in your contacts as kidnapper, right? And he called him, well, we have you. And it's always got to be a person of questionable ethnicity. Like, it's never just, you know, hey, what's up? I got your kid. Like, no, it's always got to be the accent. That's how you know it's evil, right? We have your daughter. And he was like, I just know, I will be exasperated. Again? If you don't come looking for her, don't worry about it. I'm cool. I'm like, put her on the phone. Oh my God, Dad, they got, look, don't, we had a good run. Dad, what are you saying? I'm saying, at some point, look, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me. Dad, I don't understand what you, I'm just, don't call me Dad anymore. You belong to them now. That's, that was darker than what I intended. Speaking of dark, I will say, when you raise the kid, you don't know the type of kid you're raising. Good, bad, other. Like, you don't know what traits that you should kind of keep an eye on and what traits that, you know, that you should nurture, right? my daughter, she had a chameleon. She loved this chameleon. She did. I mean, she researched. She made him a habitat. It was a terrarium, I think. Like, she was really, she made sure she had the appropriate foliage in there, you know, the whole nine, right? And to, you had to feed the chameleon. Well, you didn't have to, but it was highly encouraged that you fed the chameleon crickets, right? You had to buy live crickets. But the thing was, you couldn't put too many up in there, right? If you put, like, just if you was lazy, you got a small chameleon, you just threw 50 crickets in there. Apparently, the crickets would eat your chameleons. So now you got pet crickets now. It's survival of the fittest, right? So we would have to go buy, like, boxes of crickets. And they were live. I was trying to be funny. And I was like, well, since really you got a pet chameleon and you got 50 pet crickets, because you got to keep them alive too. You got to feed them too. And I was like, you know, you should name the crickets. And I thought it was funny, right? And then she was like, Dad, why would I name them? I was like, well, they're pets, aren't they? You're feeding one pet to another. I'm trying to give her, like, this sense of morality. Like, is what you're doing right? You're taking one living thing and sacrificing it, in a sense, to this soulless chameleon. Like, reptile brains, they don't love, like, puppies and cats and stuff. Like, they soulless. It's eat, survive, procreate, repeat. There's nothing. Look at them eyes. Like, they don't even face the same way. That's an evil animal, right? So my daughter was like, okay, cool. So it was time to feed the chameleon. She was like, yeah, this one's called Jiminy. And I'm like, what? She was holding the cricket with some tongs, because you can't just kill it and put it in it. Like, Jiminy was fighting for his life. And then she was like, here you go, Jiminy. Like, Jiminy was like, why are you doing this? Why is God forsaking me? And then the gecko, and I'm sorry, chameleon, was like, oh, true day, by job, by wookie. Like, it was just speaking some evil chant, right? And she fed it. And she only had to feed it, like, every 3 days or something. And, like, you could see the box dwindling, the box of crickets. And you could see maybe the crickets was getting wise to what was going on, because they was fighting. They was jumping and stuff. And then, you know, a couple of them got free. And I was like, if they get out the box, then just leave them. They deserve freedom. That's just what it is. And then she picked up another one. She was like, this one is named Jiminy. Like, all of the crickets was named Jimmy. And I didn't know if that was cute or, like, kind of sadistic. So that part. What else? Jiminy. And I get, you know, Jiminy Cricket, obviously, you know. What else? There was you know, kids, as much as I like them, my kids grown now, and I remember, because she always was talking about those white vans, and she was like, ooh, like, that white van almost kidnapped me. And I was like, it was a dry cleaner's, like, no one's trying to take you, you know. And then, and realistically, my daughter looks way younger, like, because she's a short person. She's not a dwarf. She's short in stature, right? So, and I thought it was funny, because she was like 18, right? She was like, ooh, that van almost kidnapped me. I was like, no, sweetheart, abducted. She was like, huh? I said, well, you're not a kid anymore. You know, when you turn 18, grown-ups get abducted. We don't get kidnapped. She was like, oh, okay. And then that became part of her vocabulary. She was like, ooh, Dad, I almost got kid. I'm sorry, abducted. I was like, there you go. Now you're learning. Look, when I turned 18, I remember my mom woke me up, back in my day, brought to you by nostalgia. Sha-na-na-na. When I turned 18, right, I remember waking up that day, and I was like, okay, I'm 18, you know. First thing my mom said to me on my 18th birthday, right, I was oldest kid. She was a single mom. Back then, back in 98, Gary, Indiana was wild, okay? Like, they was doing the most, right? It was the murder capital of the world. Like, it was dangerous. I tried to tell my daughter that. She was like, oh, Dad, it's dangerous now. Like, you don't get it. Like, people was doing stuff. Like, Anyway, my mom, I opened up my bedroom door and my mom was standing there. And she looked at me in the eyes and she said, "Tony, today you are 18. I was like, "Yes, ma'am." She was like, "You could be tried as an adult today. So think about your decision," and walked off. The thing is, I knew that. Like, you know, she told me that, but I knew it. Like, that it wasn't like, "Oh, you're 18 now. You know, go time to whatever people do at 18. Like, "No, nah, man, it's real now." Right? But yeah, I was telling my daughter to put her mind at ease. Like, no one's going to kidnap you. And if they do, they'll be very disappointed. Because I wasn't trying to tear self-esteem down or nothing like that. I was just like, look, if you grab a kid, right? you're outside of elementary school, right? You see the first kid that's grabbable, right? Small person, short in stature. You grab him, you throw him in the back of your van. You're like, "Shut up, kid. Like, we're holding you for ransom," whatever. If you looked up and that person was an 18-year-old, you'd be like, "Ah, damn it. Like, I really got to start looking at, like, okay, let's just take it out the realm of kids, because maybe that's making people squeamish, right? But let's just say you were supposed to kidnap, under 18, you're supposed to kidnap a kid, right? So you pull up at the elementary school, you grab them, they tell them they're wearing a purple coat, right? Okay, cool, it's wintertime, everybody got coats, but you see purple, and you in go mode, right? You grab the purple coat and you throw it in the back of the van. You say, "Shut up." You got one of those remote control, the voice box on you. "Shut up." I really got to work on my voices, huh? "Shut up." That's no better. Okay. Just imagine it was a robotic voice. "Shut up." Like, and they were like, we call your parents and let them know that we got you. And then the person took the hood off, and it was a substitute teacher. Like, you know, a 42-year-old substitute teacher. You're like, "God." And then she'd be like, "Well, since I'm in the back of the van, I was going to walk home. I'm assuming you young men going to give me a ride." "Yes, ma'am. You're going to take them where it's supposed to be. You terrible at kidnapping is what I'm trying to tell you." So, yeah, I had to put my daughter's mind at ease. Like, dude, you're good. I'm gonna tell you, kids are cool. I like kids. But when my daughter turned 18, like, our relationship, the dynamic changes as it's supposed to. It's supposed to grow, evolve. It's just what it is, right? So I will tell you this. I've met some people. That sounds real conspiratorial, right? But yeah, like, I've dated people with kids, and it's all right. You sometimes you get attached to them, right? And sometimes you just know it's not gonna work, and it's not the woman's fault. It's the kid. You know, when you a guy, you date a chick, or if you a chick and you date a chick, whatever, they got kids, you gotta like the woman, but the kids also gotta be okay. I can deal with this too, you know. And then they got to accept you. It's a three-way situation, right? I met this young lady, and like, she was all right. Nothing, you know, she was all right. Her kids, though, they look just like, I never met the baby daddy, but I would imagine they didn't look like her. All right, so they had to look like him. It was two of them. Looked exactly like the baby daddy. It was a 4-year-old and a 7-year-old, and the way she talked to the kid let me know that she did not like the baby daddy. I mean, think about it. If you don't like somebody, right? Y'all make a life together. Y'all make two lives together. Real talk. If y'all make two lives together, as far as I'm concerned, that's your wife. Like, you know what I'm saying? If dude came back 10 years from now, you know, y'all got two kids, it's almost like holding a place in line. He'd be like, "Oh, well, let me get back." Yeah, by all means, that's your family. Anyway, yeah, she has a 4-year-old and a 7-year-old. And this is not me making fun of no kids or nothing any more than I have. These are actual real kids, so I'm not making fun of them. But, yeah, they look just like their dad. because they didn't like the mom. So, and you could tell like she was kind of upset about that. But it was subconscious, I think. And I had to ask her. I said, "You don't like your baby daddy very much," and she, "Don't get me started." Blah 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 blah. Okay, cool. So anyway, I called her one day just to kind of see what's going on. Hey, what's going on? She said, "Oh, nothing much. One of the kids swallowed a dime." And I'm sitting there thinking, like, who the change? Like, what the? Who the hell has changed laying around? Like, okay, cool. And she sent me a text. No, I didn't call her. Text. I'm sorry. Say, you know, how's everything? Don't say, "Oh, I'm, you know, one of the kids swallowed a dime." I said, "Oh, okay. Well, I hope everything is okay." She said, "I'm monitoring him now. I'm thinking I might have to take him to the emergency room." I'm like, "Okay, well, I hope the 4-year-old is okay." She said, "It wasn't the 4-year-old, the 7-year-old. I threw my hands up. I was like, "I'm done. Like, I'm not taking this person to the mall. Like, what? You 7, bro. Like, you putting change in your mouth? Like, you supposed to be the role model for the 4-year-old. And the 7-year-old like, "Watch this, swallow," right? Like you a whole piggy bank. And the 4-year-old gonna be like, "That look good. I'm gonna try it with a dime." The brain just stuttered. "I'm gonna try it with a quarter." Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, dude, I'm not gonna be walking. I'm not gonna be dressing up with these kids and this woman and taking pictures and shit. "This is the family I chose." Like shrugging my shoulders, like the end of a Looney Tunes commercial. "This is what it do." Like, nah, skip that. Nah, bro. I'm not doing it. But then I was like, maybe I'm overjudging. Like, what do 7-year-olds do? But I mean, I'm pretty sure they don't swallow change. Like, what? You got pockets, man. You 7. You got pockets. Put the dime in your pocket, right? Like, I don't know, man. And then another situation. Okay, so we was at a restaurant. Right, another young lady, she had 2 kids. I'd be liking that MILF love, bro. No, but at this age, people have kids, like they procreate, they got crotch fruit. That's what kids are called in some places, right? They got crotch fruit, right? So we sitting there, it was a lovely time, beautiful woman, excellent kids, right? They was doing kid stuff, you know, coloring in the magazines or whatever. Not the magazine, the kid menu. And, you know, while we were there, you know, there was a shot of whiskey on the table. Okay, cool. No big deal, whatever. The young lady excused herself to go to the bathroom. And one little kid is like, his shoe wasn't tied, right? I'm like, "All right, well, come here, little fella. Say, how old are you?" He said his age. It was an adorable age not to have your shoes tied. He wasn't like he was 14 or some shit stuff. You know, he's a little kid. I said, "You don't know how to tie your shoes?" He's like, "No, sir." I'm like, "Oh, that's adorable, right?" I'm like, I can see myself taking him to baseball games and, you know, teaching him how to shoot a basketball. Right? I can see this, right? So I'm like, "All right, well, little fella, this is what you do." Because I remember when I didn't know how to tie my shoes. And it was like my mom used to do this thing, right? You make a loop, a bunny ear. And, you know, well, the bunny ran around a tree. And then the bunny came out the other side. That was the loop, the loop. That's how you tied your shoes. And once you learned that, you know, you was good. That was like 10% of being an adult. Like, make sure your shoes don't fall off, right? So I'm over here, I'm bent down. Okay, well, here's the loop and here's the tree. No, the rabbit ran around the tree. So the first loop was the tree, I think. Yeah, so you wrap it around. The bunny runs around the tree. And then it goes under the tree, and then you pull it tight. Boom, that's the thing. While I'm tying the shoe, the other kids say, "This juice is spicy." And as soon as I heard it, I'm looking at the little kid I'm tying the shoe, all innocent stuff. I was like, "There's no way. There's no." I turn around. The other kids putting down the whiskey shot, like, "Ah, oh, yeah, that juice is spicy." Like, say it again, right? And I got my face just dropped, I guess, apparently. And then the kid looked at me like, "No one's gonna believe you." Like, you know, like, dude, you know. I was like, okay, right? And I ain't want to be no snitch, right? Because now the little other kid looking at me like, oh, what you going to do, bro? Like, you gonna tell my mama, you know? So, you know, once we got everybody away, once I got the mama away, I was like, hey, just a heads up, man, that, you know, that kid, you know, took a shot of whiskey. And it was not the response that I expected. You know, again, I'm not stanking on nobody. I just think it's a funny story. Things happen to me that's funny. I want to share with people. That's just what it is. All right. Why I get so defensive? I don't know. That's going to be the Amber Alert episode of Bro 3 Podcast. If you found this upsetting, but you made it all the way to the end, well, that was never my intent. I just wanted to, you know, make you laugh, chuckle a little bit. But if you do feel a certain type of way and want to voice that opinion, by all means, send me a text, 219-964-7781. If you like the podcast, like, share, subscribe. That way, as soon as I drop an episode, they send it to you. No fuss, no muss. If you like it, share it with somebody. You know, somebody with a dark sense of humor. Not all of them's going to be about Amber Lurch. You know how podcasts work. All right, y'all. Love y'all. Be sweet. I'll talk to you later. Peace.